I speak to you in the name of God, our Maker, our Redeemer, and our Life Giver. Amen. Good morning. My name is Brandon Chambers, and I'm a student member at the Episcopal Church at Yale. I bring greetings from our chaplain, the Reverend Paul Carling, and the whole Episcopal Church at Yale family. I'd like to thank you for having me this Valentine's Day morning. And I would say, as a college student, I'm not sure I'd say this would have been my first choice for where to spend my Valentine's Day. But I am happy that everyone I've met so far has shown me love. And today is also the last Sunday after Epiphany. Throughout this season, we have encountered Jesus making himself known in the world. We have seen him being revealed to the Magi, being presented at the temple, calling his disciples, and healing the sick throughout Galilee. Today, we encounter Jesus revealing himself to three of his disciples in a different, more radiant way. Let's try to picture what Peter, James, and John are feeling in the gospel reading for today. Imagine taking a hike with three of your friends when suddenly one of them starts glowing, and then their clothes begin shining brilliantly. And then, as if that wasn't enough, two men appear out of nowhere and start having a chat with him. I imagine the disciples must be thinking to themselves, who is this shiny guy talking to? Did I hear him just call them Moses and Elijah? Wait, the Moses and Elijah? That's insane. We then see Peter display his early leadership skills as he chooses to intervene in Jesus' conversation with the prophets. I imagine we all know someone who just has to be in every conversation they hear going on. I have this one friend who will hear myself and a couple others talking and just refuses to mind his business. Even if he knows next to nothing about the topic of discussion, he must find a way to weave his words into the argument. I imagine Peter must be in a similar frame of mind when he feels the need to insert himself into this conversation that seems just a bit over his head. Never mind what they're talking about. Peter just has to get his offer in that they build each of them a tabernacle. After all, two greats of the Judaic tradition have just come to visit their companion. Not only is the glory of the ancients on full display, but also that of their friend Jesus, who, by the way, is still glowing. Despite the good intentions of the offer, Peter's attempt to make it seem like he has his wits about him deceives no one. The scripture says that he did not know what to say because he, like James and John, was terrified. I think I can share in Peter's embarrassment at his feeling of honest incapacity. I remember last summer, I was working on a research project from home, which required me to meet virtually with my academic advisor every week or so. In one particular week, I remember meeting with him in the wake of the tragic news of George Floyd's killing and the first wave of demonstrations on the streets. I remember lamenting to my professor that I just couldn't figure out how to connect my research on the social and political causes of multi-ethnic communities to the imperatives of the day. I couldn't chart a path forward based on what I knew, and that just really frustrated me. My advisor's response put me right. He suggested that I resist the urge to theorize every problem I face, and rather take some time just to appreciate what it was that I was feeling. And so as a coffee-infused college student who thought he was wise beyond his years, I was shocked. A lot of the time, our hearts can do much more meaningful work than our brains. I think this is part of the lesson that we find in Jesus teaching Peter and the disciples on the mountain. The shock and awe of witnessing Jesus' transfiguration provoked Peter to do what he thought was best. In his mind, the glory of Jesus in communion with the prophets can only be enhanced by his work to establish dwellings for the three figures. In the face of this wondrous moment, Peter's instinct is to speak and to act as quickly as possible. However, the instruction from God is the opposite. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Don't do, don't speak, listen." What Peter needed to learn right then and there was that before knowledge comes understanding. As the Apostle Paul writes, "It is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Paul reminds us that knowledge comes not from leaning on our own understanding. Rather, our loving God shines in our hearts to give us true knowledge. What Peter has to learn is that he's not the one calling the shots. Rather, he himself is being called to submit to the divine will of Jesus, recognizing that our humanity makes us need God's love and redemption. As we close out this liturgical season of Epiphany and prepare for Lent, I think there's a message for all of us in this transfiguration experience. Throughout the coming 40 days, we are invited to engage in deep prayer and listen for the voice of God reaching out to us. In the same way that Jesus or God went away and fasted, so too are we called to engage with our humanity by prayerfully listening for God's direction. Furthermore, we are invited to recognize that we are who we are because of God's love for us, and to submit ourselves to that perfect love. This is the same kind of realignment which Peter and the disciples undergo on their descent from the mountain. Jesus orders them to keep everything they had seen secret until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. I imagine the disciples must have been thinking, "What do you mean? We can't say anything about this crazy hike until after someone's been risen from the dead. What does that even mean?" But we now know why Jesus instructed them to keep quiet, because he is the Son of Man, and he was to suffer death on a cross for our sake. The same Jesus who was just shining brilliantly before them with Moses and Elijah would be ridiculed, beaten, and killed, only to rise again 2 days later. This is not to diminish the significance of this moment, but by ordering the disciples to hush up, I think Jesus meant that we need to understand Christ in his dying in order to know him in his glory. To me, that is the beauty of God's love, that Jesus knows us in our highest heights and in our lowest of lows. It is Jesus understanding us and loving us as both ruler and friend. As we leave this season behind and enter the Lenten period, we are called to engage with God's love through prayer and meditation. The same love of God that animates the world will animate our lives as we walk down the mountain with Jesus in this life. And so on this Valentine's Day, I leave you with the words of the songwriter who writes, "My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me. Love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be."